Good morning, 8:37 here on the Mighty 690 as we go throughout a Thursday edition of the program. And normally we have Denise York here, but we've got I don't want to call you like junior varsity or whatever. You just get put up to bat here.
The bottom of the pecking order.
I don't know. We have Peggy Steele joining us, and it's good to have you on here, Peggy. I got to, see you in person officially here at the last commission meeting, but you're here to give a few updates in the form of Coffeyville's reawakening, and I think this is a good opportunity and helps me learn too a little bit about the origin of Coffeyville's reawakening. You had a great presentation at the last meeting on the 9th Street project, and that was your kind of personal project, but you said that kind of led to the helping and organizing of Coffeyville's reawakening. So for folks, one, who weren't able to attend or weren't able to watch the meeting, can you tell us a little bit about the 9th Street project?
Sure. Well, I came to Coffeyville to save my grandmother's house, which was a blighted bungalow on 9th Street that my grandma and grandpa lived in from 1910 until 1973. And subsequent owners had done a variety of jobs on it, and the last couple owners did not care for it, and it became abandoned and then blighted. It was so bad even the druggies wouldn't live there. I mean, it was bad. And I couldn't bear to see my grandmother's humble bungalow torn down. And so I went to the tax sale, which I'd never been to before, and bought it for $350, and I overpaid.
Yeah, I've heard some wild stories from those tax sales.
I overpaid, but you know what? Anybody in Coffeyville who wants to come and visit us, I'd be glad to give them a tour. We took that bungalow, and it's our home now when we're here in Coffeyville, which is most of the year, a lot of the year, and we turned it into a wonderful living place, and that's our home. Well, when I started that at the tax sale, I also had bought a couple other homes on 9th Street, because 9th Street was my hood. You know, I dragged my little wagon behind me and sold potatoes door to door when I was 9 years old to all the 9th Street neighbors. And
oh, there's something
salt
special
and pepper
about
shakers
that.
And
you never forget the neighborhood.
You don't.
You grew up in.
Well, I learned so many entrepreneurial skills. I didn't know that at the time.
Oh yeah, no, I'm Boy Scout selling popcorn. I mean, well, that was what
that
I.
Big, those are big deals. Yeah, and we forget that sometimes. But Coffeyville has always been my hometown and my beloved hometown, special to me. So 9th Street, especially being my neighborhood, was special. And those homes on 9th Street were also abandoned. So once I kind of got the hang of it, I decided to invest in fixing those homes up. And as it evolved, I really looked at what would it be like to have a critical mass of or a cluster of renovated homes that were formerly in terrible condition. So when people drove down the street, they could see what a neighborhood would look like that was really cared for. And not a fancy schmancy neighborhood, but one with our bungalows, you know. And so we did that with eight of them, including the one we live in, and just really had a lot of fun doing it. We used a lot of local help who needed jobs for the non-skilled labor. Of course, we used licensed contractors for the, you know, HVAC and plumbing, electricity, and all the stuff you have to use licensed contractors for. And we rent them, and we have a line of people waiting. And now, after a period of time, when my loans are gradually being paid off, I'll be able to pay off most of them as I sell them. And I'm getting great people in who buy them. I have a single mother who is in her first home. I have a single couple, or not a single couple, a married couple in their first home. And it's really been rewarding. Now, that led to taking vacant lots and turning the vacant lots around. And so we started with a community garden because some of the neighbors in the 1100 block wanted a garden. And we learned shortly the realities of a community garden, the cost of it, what's required in terms of labor. And we had a lot of people show up who were really excited, and then they planted things, and they wanted to come back when it was ready to harvest. And we said, oh, no, you know, gosh, there's a lot of work in between. So we learned a lot of lessons, got a lot of kids involved. And it's evolved. And as that evolved, we started looking at other lots, and we formed a 501c3 and donated our lots to that. And that became part of Coffeyville's neighborhood initiative. And that 501c3 also has the Fresh Start Youth Garden under it. And we work with the Boys and Girls Clubs. We work with kids in the neighborhood. We're just starting a relationship with the Center for the Adults Who Are... handicapped, and they're going to come over one day a week and work. And so we're trying to reach out to different groups as well as our mainstream neighborhood residents. So that's where we are. Now, as a result of being in town, and since I started my career as a theater major, I was really involved in the Midland when I was living here. I knew that there was a board and they were trying to renovate the Midland, so I was asked to join the board, and that has been wonderful. All of us who grew up here and had the Midland as kind of our anchor want it to be open again. So I've been on the board for 5 years, and we're in the fundraising, and we're going to be opening the front of the house this summer.
It's
going to
be so great.
Oh, yeah. And most of it's through local financing, which is terrific. And when people see what is being done, then we will finish financing the backstage, and then we'll do the big enchilada, the house. And we will get grants for the house. A lot of them are contingent upon getting these other two pieces done. So that's Coffeyville's reawakening. Although it does include the historical downtown. Of
sure.
course, the Midland's part of that. But it's really three parts. It's historical downtown, the Midland, and Coffeyville Neighborhood Initiative. And then a separate part is the company I have that owns the property. So that started it. It was a catalyst that led to the 501c3 and the Midland and the whole downtown initiative. But, you know, I didn't do that. There were many, many people who were part of forming Coffeyville's Reawakening. Denise York is here. She was one of the original people, the Stephanie Richardson, Mike Shook, Mark Hall, Janie Gillis. You know, I can just go on and name Bill Wade. A lot of people were really, Ryan Thompson, instrumental in coming together, and we still meet monthly, and we still have different projects we work on.
Well, and it's so interesting to me that, you know, who would have thought by starting with your grandma's house that this kind of snowballed, and it just the way things work out, you know, you talk to people, they're interested in another project that can kind of go alongside, and you get pretty soon kind of a train moving down the tracks.
Yeah, and it's a good train. Sometimes those trains are like, whoa.
Wow, yeah.
That's right. So yeah, we're delighted. In fact, the other night at the commission meeting prior to it starting, I met a gentleman who's really interested in bungalows, and we talked about, you know, a bungalow project.
Sure.
And really looking at trying to, in a very organized way, help people understand what it costs, how they can get into bungalows if they have skills. I have no skills. I don't know how to hammer a nail, and so I had to hire most of the work to be done. But boy, if you have skills, you can get into those, and you can fix them up, and you can take your time. And we really want to do something that allows people to find a place to live and own it that's a respectable, nice-looking place they take care of.
Sure, and obviously you were able to take advantage of some of the grants from the city, and now are those grants that you took advantage of, are those still available? I know we also, in addition, have some of the grants that have from the half-cent sales tax, you know, first-time home buyers. We have people looking to, of course, build and that sort of thing. But what are resources available for someone who is interested in actually fixing up a house?
Well, I can tell you, to get the latest updated information, you need to call Charlene Brown at City Hall, and she heads the housing department, which Mark Hall put into place as a result of getting the money from the government and starting the building of the moderate to lower income houses, which will be wonderful houses, and it'll be infill for our older neighborhoods. In fact, we'll have five of them on 9th Street. So that's going to be an additional critical mass of, you know, homes that now are vacant lots, some of them not very well cared for.
Sure.
So call City Hall, ask for the housing department, and because it changes all the time.
It does.
There are many, many more programs that they brought in since Mark's been here and Charlie's been in charge that give people opportunities. I don't know all the details.
Sure. Well, yeah, like you said, there's always changing. And, you know, we've talked even about the ability for more for downtown, but to stack some of those grants and programs on top of each other to where, you know, that money can really add up. And you have to be savvy on taking advantage of those. So it's good that we do have that housing department and everything there.
Really,
so
is.
You at the last commission meeting, I also appreciate you bringing up the topic of, you know, fiscal responsibility in a city such as Coffeyville. You know, we're in a unique position in the U.S. I think, because, you know, we have had this population decline, and the city was built for, you know, 20,000, and we're now under 9,000. You know, I remind people on this program, and it's something scary to think about. Pitcher, Oklahoma was 9,000 people.
Yeah.
Now it's gone.
And people, you know, when we all complain about the streets and the sidewalks, and, you know, there's a lot to complain about. And it's legitimate. And understanding what's behind it, though, makes a big difference. Instead of blame and negativism, trying to figure out a way to fix it and be part of the problem instead of part of the solution, not the problem. Really, the whole idea when I lived here, the town was about 18,000, and we had all the infrastructure. We still have that has to be maintained, and people don't think about that. And that has to be maintained through funds that the city has. And they do the best they can. They've gotten quite a bit of money to try to maintain the streets and sidewalks and get them fixed up, but it's limited, and they have to have priorities. And they are trying desperately not to, as a city taxing entity, raise the mill levy. People aren't aware that we have several entities that are taxing entities. We have I won't be able to name them all. I think the hospital, the rec center, the 445. I think the college is a taxing entity. I don't want to give out incorrect information, but several that have their own powers to budget and tax. And so one of the things that any administrator has to do is to come in and look at where the city money is going and how to manage that. So, you know, Mark's taken a lot of heat, as has his staff, for really challenging all people and groups asking for money, especially those who have their own taxing authority, to manage their budgets, because the city has to manage its budget, and that's not popular. I used to live in Chicago a long time ago, and we called that third rail politics. It was widely known that when you had a major issue in a town or a city, and it had been there for a long time, that what you had to do is you had to find somebody to come into a position, and mainly these were elected positions, so they had to be electable. They had to be knowledgeable, and they had to have a passion for solving the real deep issues, and they had to be willing to step on what we call the third rail. And the third rail politics, that's the rail on the, you know, the underground, that you step on it and you get electrocuted. And when I stand back and I look at what's happening in Coffeyville, I see that we have a city manager who's willing to step on the third rail to make things better in Coffeyville. And I'll tell you what, when I see some of the things that's gone on at the commission meetings and the things that's been said, it makes me very sad, because finding people like that's not easy. I lived in a big city of Chicago, and they tried to solve those problems, and it's tough. Even in the smaller towns. So he's taken a lot of heat. I'm sure that there are some things. You know, we all have problems. I manage two companies, and I look back on it, and I could have been so much better as a leader and a manager. You know, but we got through it, and we did some great things. So everybody who's examined closely has faults. And I just have to look at the things that have been done for Coffeyville in the last 4 or 5 years and say, boy, I'll tell you, on my Ben Franklin list of pluses and negatives, those pluses so far outweigh the negatives, but people don't talk about them. It's always easy to blame, point the finger, and be negative. So, you know, that's where we are. Now, that's not part of Coffeyville's reawakening.
No.
I want to make a point that Coffeyville's reawakening is apolitical. We don't take political stands. So I'm not saying this representing them. I'm representing a neighbor and a property owner.
Of course. Yeah. It's just your personal thoughts on it. But, you know, that's a good point in the fact that, you know, we have organizations like Coffeyville's reawakening, because here's the other thing is, you know, in a town of this size, you know, in any town really, not everything has to run through the city administration to get approved. I mean, look at Love Independence Day. We talked with Lisa Wilson about this, and, you know, the initiative there, that's all just, you know, a lot of homegrown stuff. I know there's been some talk of maybe rolling that out to the rest of the county. I think that's a great idea. But, you know, to have more programs like this and to get people involved in doing projects, you know, a great example is what they did this, you know, past Love Independence Day with the fire hydrants. You know, the city says, okay, we got 300 fire hydrants. They need to be painted.
Yep.
We here's the paint. Here's how to do it. It takes 30 minutes each. Who wants to do it?
That's wonderful.
And so something simple like that. Yep. You don't have to wait for the city or the fire department to have time to do it or something. You know, this is something that anyone can hold a paintbrush and, you know, paint it.
Well, when you choose to make a difference and be positive versus look it up, point the finger and make be critical and be negative, your life changes. It changes inside of you. I mean, there's research that shows that. And it's not easy to do. It's not easy to flip that over. And, you know, the town of Coffeyville has gone through a lot. And it's easy to understand with our 29.2% poverty level. And then it's easy to understand why people are negative and people are depressed. And it's hard to turn it over. But, boy, once you get that feeling and get some hope and you experience making something better, it changes your life. And so this has changed my life, and I am so appreciative of the opportunities that I've been given, and I hope to do the best I can with what I've got for as long as I can. I used to know a man who gave speeches, and he said, you know, you can rust away or you can die all used up, and I want to die all used up. I just don't want to do it in the next 20 years.
Right. Well, you know, that's one of the things, and you have to, I think, look back at the people who built Coffeyville. They did not sit around. They didn't go back. Well, you know, depending on the year, they didn't just go home and watch TV and go to bed.
They didn't have TV.
They didn't have TV. You know, exactly. So, you know, it does take effort, and I encourage everyone to find, you know, something that you're passionate about and go explore that. You know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but here in, you know, I'm an amateur radio operator, and we've been working to grow the local amateur radio club. And that's Ooh. A very tiny little facet yeah. of it's a niche of a hobby. Mm-hmm. But hey, since we've kind of reorganized things and we've gotten, I think, 5 or 6 new licensed hams. We got another one on the way who's going to be licensed here and hopefully to pass this test this coming month. So, uh-huh. I mean, just little things like that. I mean, it's going to take all of us to keep everything going.
Yep,
so
that's right.
It's just one of those things that I encourage everyone to, you know, examine and find something that you're passionate about and go make it happen.
Yep.
Because it's going to take all of us lifting it all together.
That's
because,
right.
I mean, we have folks like you, you know, we've got so many different volunteers in the community who kind of run themselves ragged with just, you know, trying
That's
to
right.
do everything.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, we've got folks who maybe they're retired, they have a little more time. And like Denise York will say, if you have an hour a month, a couple yep. hours a month, an hour a week, whatever it is, you know, we can use you.
Well, that's true. And so Coffeyville's Reawakening headquarters is downtown at 150 West 9th Street. And it's open usually in the mornings, but you can leave a note if somebody's not there that you're interested in getting involved. You can message 303-547-0544 and give me your name and contact information, and I will be sure to get a hold of you or someone else. We need volunteers for our gardens, for the activities, for the events downtown, and we need people to feel like they can get up and not have to sit around and just watch TV, but give.
And, you know, when you volunteer for something like that, it's fun. You get to actually, you know, I like seeing the behind the scenes sort of stuff,
yeah.
but, you know, you get to see a little bit of the inner workings of our community. And I think it's very rewarding.
It is. And you're giving back. And that's, you know, I don't know. You get to the point in life where you realize that there's some really important things, and one of them is giving back. And we need it. And that's how Coffeyville is going to continue to turn around, because we are making a difference.
You know, I've seen just so many positive things. I mean, I've only been here since September, but I think there's just so many good things that I've seen happen just in my short time here, and I think we're only getting started. So.
That's right, we are.
Anything else, Peggy Steele? It's been really great to have you on. Anything else you'd like to share as we wrap up?
Well, I just hope that people get in touch with us. Remember, 303-547-0544. Message me, let me know who you are and your contact information, or drop a note off at Coffeyville's Reawakening headquarters. We would love to find ways to get you involved that makes you happy too.
All right. Well, great stuff that's going on with Coffeyville's Reawakening. I appreciate it. Peggy Steele having you on the program here. And we're going to get started with Open Line in just a few minutes. 66 degrees right now in Coffeyville.